from Matthew chapter 15. We're reading verses 21 through 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and kneeled before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master, from their master's table." Then Jesus answered to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord, in his presence. I want to talk this morning from the subject of mother in need of a miracle. A mother in need of a miracle. I just want to say to all my mothers that there may come a time that you're going to need a miracle. Some of you have already had that time. You know he's a miracle worker. Some of you, amen, are going through that time right now. And I just want to speak a word of encouragement to you. And then some of you will have that time in your future. And I want to speak something that will prepare you for that future. Listen, a few days ago, I was fortunate enough to go see a movie that had just came out. The name of the movie was Breakthrough. I don't know if any of y'all saw that movie, but it's called Breakthrough. And Breakthrough is a depiction of a true story about a family and their son. The father, Brian Smith, the mother, Joyce Smith, and their 14-year-old son, John Smith. One day, as John and his friends were out having some time enjoying the ice on top of a lake, the lake had ice over, and they had carefully went out on the ice from the shore over the lake. They were enjoying themselves on the ice and challenging themselves on the ice. And all of a sudden, in the cold of winter, the ice broke. And the boys fell through the ice. In the couple of young men were able to kind of maneuver themselves out. But as the other two were trying to maneuver themselves out, one in his attempt to get out had, you know how you swim and your feet be moving, he had accidentally hit John with one of his feet and kicked him. And he lost consciousness. And he was up under the water for a while.
In the midst of that action, the rescue workers came out, and I'm not going to tell you all the movie, because I want to spoil it for you if you haven't seen it. But they got him out, and he was able to go to the hospital, and it was really a bleak-looking situation. Wasn't much hope for him. Everybody who looked at him and what he had been through, most everybody was saying he's not going to make it. His brain was without oxygen for quite some time. The doctors were just waiting for his mom to get there to cut off the machine. But his mom, like most moms, in spite of all the evidence against him, believed somehow her son could survive. And we see her in the movie fighting against all odds for her son's survival. When everybody said he wasn't going to make it. In other words, she was a mother in need of a miracle. And as I watched that, story, at some points I had a difficult time holding myself together. I'm glad it was dark. You know what they say, man cries. In the dark. I had a difficult time because as I saw the story, I was reminded of all those times I saw my mother in a similar situation when everybody was saying it wasn't going to happen. It seemed like all odds were against her and her family, but she refused to give up the fight. Oh, have any witnesses in here? Yeah. Have any children who have seen that in their mother's struggle for the survival of the family? Yeah. When I was looking at that, I almost lost it because I realized how many times I'd seen my own mother in that situation. Maybe not as dire, but as some other things that were very similar. Second thing that really broke me down was God coming through. If you've seen God come through sometimes, it reminded me not only of my mother's fight, but God coming through on her behalf. He showed up. So it was kind of difficult. It was kind of difficult for me to keep it together. But I managed. I managed, amen. I was sitting right by Gabriel's. I managed to kind of keep it together. I know there are some mothers out here who've had those same kind of situations. But you hung on in there. You hung on in, and I'm so glad you. And that's why we honor mothers, because it's the way they're wired. They're wired not to give up. Even when the situation is most bleak, seem like they just won't give up. They won't give in. They just keep on trying. Keep on striving. Keep on fighting. Keep on praying. They just won't give up. Because they know they have children that are dependent. Thank God for mothers that didn't give up. Listen, in this story that we see today, we see a mother in a similar circumstance. The Bible says, when we read it, that, amen, she had, in the Greek she had, because they used the diminutive for her daughter, so she was a small child. She had a small daughter, amen, that was maybe of elementary school age. And it said her daughter was under the control of an evil personality. Her daughter was under control and being her life was being dominated by a demon.
She knew it.
She wasn't the same child she used to be. She wasn't as attentive to her appearance, hygiene. She was up all night. She was with strange people doing strange things. Mother noticed that it just wasn't the daughter that something was in control of her daughter that made her daughter do evil. It was destroying the life of her daughter. So the mother, like all the mothers, were trying to search for a solution. She had heard, and there's a parallel scripture. When you're studying the Bible, sometimes you got to get the whole perspective. You got to look at the parallel scriptures. And there's a parallel scripture, which means there's a different writer writing about the same incident when Mark writes about it in Mark 7. And when Mark writes about it, when we look at both of those pictures together, it seems what it was, Jesus was at a time, well, let me talk about Jesus for just a second. Jesus was experiencing opposition. Jesus' popularity had rose because of his miracle working ability. And people saw that God was with him. And as his popularity rose, also his opposition rose. The religious leaders were against him, and he was having a difficult time. So he went to Phoenicia, or to the city of Tyre and Sidon in that Phoenician area. He went there for some rest and some restoration, and just to spend some a long time with his closest ministry leaders. He just wanted a time just to think things through and kind of talk to them a little bit and teach them what was going on and kind of just recuperate before he went back to ministry. So he goes to a Gentile territory because he figured if I can get away from the Jews and the places I usually minister, I can get a little rest. Maybe I can go incognito and nobody will know it's me. He said he went to the house. But you know how it is. Somehow the word got out that Jesus was in town. Somehow the word got out that there's a stranger in the city and he's healed. And this wasn't the first time. I think because when you look back at Mark, I think it's Mark chapter 3. In Mark chapter 3, there were some of the people of Tyre and Sidon had came up to Galilee and they had heard Jesus preaching and saw him working miracles, healing the sick and opening blinded eyes and healing all manner of diseases and casting out demons. And some of those same people had went back after they had saw what Jesus could do and experienced what Jesus could do. They went back and told somebody. They became what I call hope dealers. You know, we need more hope dealers. Or there's a whole lot of people, amen, are going through situations where they need a word, a good word, where it will bring them hope. And after maybe the woman had heard one of these hope dealers, she was thinking, what can I do? What can I do to help my daughter? She's just a little child, and she's going through so much misery and so much torment by this evil person, personality, or power that's in control of her life. She heard about Jesus. She heard and listened. They told her all about who he was, what he was doing, what his message was. And she began to believe in this man. And even though he was trying to hide, but I want to tell you, when your daughter's in trouble, help can't hide from you. Yeah, somehow. Because you're just not going to give up until you find some help. Yes. She went and found the king to the house where Jesus was at. I think Martin talks about her knocking on the door, but she knocked and couldn't get in. Yeah. Finally, thank you that you're crying out for help. And thank Jesus probably came out in the crowd. She finally, amen, followed him and his disciples. She asked Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. That's a good thing. I like the fact that she said, for the Lord, to have mercy on us. That was a good approach. Because, you know, some people, think they are entitled to a miracle. Some think God owes them a miracle. But this woman, she realized, hey, I live in a way, amen, that God don't really owe me anything. Matter of fact, if he's anything he owes me, it's his punishment. Yeah. So Lord, have mercy on me. Because I know if I'm going to get what my daughter needs, I need your mercy. Because you don't owe me anything. You're the God of the universe. Oh, it wasn't no name it and claim it was, huh? Because you realize God didn't owe anything. Well, there was no secret formula of getting God to move on our behalf, because she realized God did not owe her anything. She wasn't trying to speak it into existence, because God can only speak things into existence. But she said, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Wasn't a long prayer. Lord, but sometimes when you're in trouble, you don't have time for a long prayer. You remember when Peter was seeking? When Peter was seeking, you know, he was walking on the water and then began to fail. And Peter that cried out, Lord, help. If Peter would have went and did the full prayer like we do, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God, of our weary years of far. Jesus, he done drowned because that prayer was too long. Sometimes, when you're in a crisis, you don't need a whole lot of words. You just need to cry out, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, help me. Because sometimes, you don't have a whole lot of words to say. You just got to say what you can say. You just have to cry out for the little that you can get from God when you need a miracle. Yeah. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, but I've messed up. I've messed. Here she comes. Here she comes from this region where other gods are. And she had gave up and realized she had turned from the Syrophoenician God and turned to the true and living God. Because they couldn't do him no good. Moreh warned that people offered child sacrifices to, couldn't do it no good. Esther couldn't do it no good. Baal couldn't do it no good. Amen. So she heard, when she finished and realized that all the little G gods couldn't do it no good. I'm trying to tell you, you don't need a little G God. When a mother is looking for a miracle, she don't need a little G God. She needs, amen, the true and living, the big G God. When you're looking for a miracle, you want to go to the OG, the original God. The only God.
Yeah.
Amen. That's who you need. And she heard about him. She had heard about the miracles. She had heard about who he said he was. And she said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Kind of thing, but maybe. Parents, we have to be careful. How did this child get in this condition? Sometimes parents, when we play around with dark activities or travel in dark areas, it exposes and predisposes our children to darkness in their lives. You got to be careful. You got to be careful how you live and the places you go and the things you do, because it may impact the lives of your little young girl dealing with demons. Because she came from an area where there was idol worship. And an idol was just a form, God formed with man's hands that were often bagged up by evil forces, evil personalities, evil places. She, this little child, this little girl, was possessed by this. She said, Lord, have mercy. That was her. That was her request. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then the Bible says something strange. The Bible says when she said that, Jesus, because I don't want you just to see her request, but I want you to see the response. Jesus was silent. She was crying out. She had cried out at the house, they wouldn't let her in. She was crying out as she followed the disciples now. And Jesus, you would think he would address her situation. But Jesus is silent. Sometimes when you're in need, mothers, sometimes when you're in need of a miracle, you will cry out and seem like the Savior is silent. Seem like he's not listening to you. Been crying so long and you haven't seen him, you haven't seen him intervene yet. You've been crying on the behalf of your child and he hasn't come through yet. And you're wondering what's wrong, why is he so silent? Don't he see how much that needed? But I want to tell you, his silence was not to dismiss her, but to develop her. Listen. God's delays are not his denials. And sometimes an immediate no becomes an ultimate yes. Sometimes you seem like he's silent. He's pausing. But as he paused, what I want you to realize, it's a pregnant pause. It's not that he's not going to answer. He's just pausing before his answer. It's a pause that's pregnant with possibilities. Because sometime in your life, you're going to call out. And you're going to wonder, where is he? Sometimes, you know, the way we look at it, we feel like we see a miracle and God break through like a vending machine. And we go up to that vending machine and we take out the quarter of our prayer and put it in the vending machine and hit what we want. And we expect when we put the quarter of our prayer in the vending machine of divinity that he will answer us immediately. And when nothing drops, we get upset and we kick the machine. Because I put a quarter of my prayer in the machine, and the machine is not giving me that button that I pushed. I told him what I want. So something is wrong with this machine. And you get angry with the machine. Because we don't realize that God is. Sometimes his silence is not to dismiss us, but to develop us. His silence was not to get rid of her, but to draw something that was in her out of her. He was trying to draw. He saw something in her, and he was trying to pull that which he saw in her out of her. In order for him to pull that he saw in her out of her, he couldn't answer. And then that would have been bad enough to save you, the Savior's silence. But then the other ministry, not only was the master silent, but the other ministry leaders sent her away. The ministry leaders, y'all hear what I'm saying? The one that was supposed to serve her sent her away. Said, Master, or ask for her to be sent away. Master, she's annoying us. Falling after, hollering, begging. Master, send her away. We told her wrong, but she won't listen to us. Maybe she'll listen to you. The ministry leader got annoyed with ministry. Ministry leaders are supposed to do ministry. They had an opportunity to do ministry, and they got annoyed with the ministry they're supposed to be doing and sent her away. Sometimes we're so into our own agendas that we send folk away when we have an opportunity to minister. Send her away. Man, too tired of hearing all that. All that noise. We are here, we're trying to learn. We're trying to learn how to do ministry. Won't you do it? Amen. You got ministry hollering at you, calling at you. And you're trying to learn how to do. Won't you just do the ministry you got calling at you, calling? They said, sister. And they were all, you know, they were always sending people away. Yeah. You remember when the folks were, Jesus said, see if we can find food for these people. Yeah. 5,000 men, and every man had a wife and had a couple of kids, like most time the average is. That's 20,000 people. And the disciples said, oh, no, we ain't got no money for all these folks. And they said, let's send them away. They always, when the children came, they tried to send the kids. They were always trying to send them away. So here comes this mom. Virgin, the Savior is silent, or the Master is silent. Now the ministry leaders sent her away. Wow. But then Jesus finally speaks. And I when she heard this such a big boy, I feel like she's, oh, he just gonna tell me my breakthrough is coming. And Jesus says, I was sent only to the house of Israel. What? You're not a Jew. I was sent to the Jews. My mission, my purpose. I'm a Jewish Messiah. I'm the Jewish Messiah. I was sent to the Jews.
Wow. Very few signs. Then the people told you to get him because I was annoying getting on their nerves. Now he's saying that I'm not the right religion or race. But she didn't give up. I told you. See, that's the thing about moms when they're trying to get a miracle and need a miracle for their children. They just don't give up. She keeps on. She said, wait. And he said, and Jesus finally, oh, you didn't understand. Let me see if I can break it down. Let me see if I can break it down for you, man. It's not right for me to give the children's bread to their dogs.
Jesus, I can't believe you said that. Somebody come, y'all saying right now, I can't believe it. I can't believe Jesus called a woman a dog. I can't believe that's not the Jesus I know. I can't give the children bread to dogs. So first it was silence, and then when they sent her away.
Now he's saying.
And the Bible says this, Romans 1:16. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It says, the gospel, Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But then it goes on to say, to the Jew first, and then to everybody else. First, you take care of the gospel come to the Jews. They got a privilege. And then, everybody else. They were the first one to get the law.
Moses, God's law.
The Messiah was to come through them. They were first.
Jesus trying to say, Jesus trying to say. Now, notice. What's that in prayer? Gentiles, dogs, and when I got time to close this off.
Jesus said, but the word he uses for dogs is not a big dog.
You know, back in Jewish days, when he called dogs, it was often things about, you know, the big ferocious half wolf dogs that were nasty and they were, what's the word for it? They came and ate on dead things and they were just scavengers, that's the word. They just, anything that they could get, they were just unclean. And they were violent and vicious often. And the Jews used that for the Gentiles because sometimes that was the description of them. But this word that's used here is not a big dog because it's used in the Greek, it's in the diminutive sense, which means it's a small puppy.
Jesus says, listen, Jesus says, when I'm in this situation, if I come home and I'm a parent and I bought out of stock by Jim Fried Chicken, Jesus said, if I stop by Jim Fried Chicken and I got some little children at home and they got puppies, when I bring that Jim Fried Chicken home, it's not right for me to give my hungry kids to give it to the puppies and not to you. Oh, I wish I had a witness. It's not right for me to give kids a smelly kid coming through the door. And they've been hungry, they've been waiting, and I am a responsible father. It wouldn't be right for me to give the children's bread to the puppies. In other words, see, now what they would do when how the puppies usually got fed is once everybody finished eating, You know, they didn't have napkins and all the stuff we have. So what they would do, that last little piece of bread, they'd take their wipe off it, get the juice off their hand, because you know they do a lot of sopping. A lot of them had sopping the bread in whatever kind of rock it was. So they take, when they finish, they had that little grease on their hand, they take that little bread and wipe as much grease off as they can. Amen. And then once they're finished eating, they will give it to the dogs. Jesus said, the children, I got to give it to the children first. And then once the children are finishing, we'll give it to the dogs. But look at this mom. She's some kind of mama. She said, wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. I like what you say. I understand what you say. But listen here. And I know this for myself. Because you know, over my mother-in-law house, they got dogs, little puppies. And you know those puppies, they just sometimes I can be fixing the sandwich, fixing my plate, and they just stand there watching me.
Yeah.
Just hoping something falls.
I know
he's gonna drop some and I'm gonna be ready. Ain't that ready for the phone? Yeah. Amen. They don't want to wait until that time. They just wait for the crumb.
Yeah.
Amen. I try not to drop a crumb. But look at this woman said. She said, now, I understand what you're saying. The children got to eat first. First, he came to the Jews. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave them power. But now, man, it's Jewish time. See, it was a matter of time. Because the Jews first, and then the Gentiles don't get in, because he said, well, I'm not ashamed of God, because it is the power of God to save everyone. It's going to save everyone. But there's an order. You first. And then everybody else. The woman said, yeah, I should wait for time. But wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. But she was sure trying to get that miracle for her daughter. She said, you know, sometimes though, the puppies, that's what you call them, before the dinner's over, before they take that last morsel of bread and wipe it, sometimes the puppets can get the crumbs. Oh, I was just having a witness again. You have to wait till the end of the meal. Sometimes the crumbs, they can eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And she said, hey, just give me the crumbs. I don't have to have, amen. I don't want you to stop feeding the kids. I don't want you, amen, to stop God's agenda. But just let me have the crumbs. Come the crumbs of your power. My daughter can be delivered of the crumbs of your power.
Yes, sir.
Because the crumbs can fall while the family's still eating.
Yes, sir.
And they got what they got, but I have felt a little crumb.
Yeah.
All I'm asking for, Jesus, I got this little girl at home.
Yeah.
All she needs is the crumbs. Because I know you got so much power.
Yeah.
I done heard about your power.
Yeah.
I done heard about how you open blind your eyes. I done heard about the lame walking. I done heard about your delivering power. I done heard about the casting out demons. And that the crumbs is all I'm asking you for.
Yes.
And Jesus said, wow. Wow, woman. Wow. Great is your faith. She had great faith in her. But he had to bring it out of her. She had something in her, God. He had to develop. He wanted to develop and show her where faith was. He said, Lord, I just want the crumbs. And he said, great is your faith. And I wish she had the word in the Greek is mega. She had mega faith. She had real big faith. And Jesus said, faith. He gave her the great faith award. Yeah, the great faith award. And it says, instantly, her daughter was healed. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah! Sometimes what's an immediate no can be an answer for yes. Sometimes don't you think delays mean denials? Amen. Sometimes he pauses, but I want you to know the pause, the practice with powerful possibilities. You that got to keep. She would not give up. She said, all right. It's all right. I realize, Jesus. Because someone said, you know what she said, that dog. That's all right. I ain't even put around this dog when you went too far. We went on to the house. I'm gotta be separate. Why I gotta be separate? I looked at this thing and I said, you know, I'm not worried, you know. I thought about that draft they had a few days ago, the NFL draft. And you know, it's like the Jews went in the first round.
Yes.
And I had to wait to the second round. But you know, I'm not worried about working, waiting till the second round. I just want to get on the team.
Yes, sir.
Because it's a blessing to get on the team.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, if you don't pick me in the first round, I'm not going to complain about it. You can pick me in the second, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. I can be undrafted. And you can just tell me to come in the cat.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because, amen, your value to the kingdom is not what round you got chosen in.
Right.
Tom Brady didn't go in the first round. Sometimes people that go do great things for the kingdom don't always come in the first round. It don't make no difference when they choose this. I just want to be chosen.
Yes,
you can choose me in the first round, but if I'm a second round draft choice, that's all right. I just want to be blessed by being on the team.
Yes,
I just want to get on the team.
Yes,
I want to do what I want to be on the king team, because it's a blessing to be on the king team.
Yes.
Strange thing. He said, listen, she was second round. She went in the second round. The Jews went in the first round. But you remember, the reason why he's in Phoenicia is because when he was in the Jewish territory, when he was in Galilee, nobody listened. When he was in Galilee, they were against him. But now that he's over with the second string. Oh, I wish I had a whisper. Amen. She got great faith.
Yeah.
You remember when the disciples, when the storm got on the boat, and they were going across, and the storm got on the boat, and they had to go downstairs in the boat to wake up Jesus. Jesus, we're in the midst of a storm. Wake up, Master. Don't you perish. And Jesus got up and stilled the storm. Said, peace, be still, and the storm and the waves ceased to move, and then he turned to the first string and said, oh ye of little faith.
All right.
But this woman here on the second string,
yeah.
He said, great. Oh, y'all know, yeah. Woman, you got great faith. Go on home. She's already healed. Time you get home, you're still cleaning yourself up. You'll see it over the desk going back and doing the homework. You'll see a different look in the eyes and her confidence will change because Jesus said, see, woman, you came to my house trying to get help. And if you'll come to my house, I'll go to your house. Ooh, I wish I had a witness in here. If you'll come to him, he'll go to you. I don't need a miracle. I got to get my miracle. I can't give up. Yeah. Y'all can tell me, send her away. Yeah, even when he's silent. Yes, even when I'm second. be sick all day long if I don't get a blessing for my child. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how. See, when your child hurt, you hurt. Yeah. When something wrong with your child, something is wrong with you.
Yeah.
You say, my child can't rest, and I can't rest. If my child is hurting, I'm hurting. Whatever he's going through, I'm going through too. So I can't rest, so God, you don't understand, Jesus. Some people would have gave up, but I'm a mom. And there's something in me that said, as long as my child got a chance, as long as I see any hope, as long as I'm going to keep on pleading, I'm going to keep on praying, I'm going to keep on going after God with all I got. But I got to get the help of my child. Everybody else gave up on her, but I'm not going to give up on her. Everybody else gave up on him, but I'm not going to give up on him. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on calling out. In the midnight, I'm going to call you. In the morning, I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you. But I heard the word of God say, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. So I'm going to keep on asking, and asking, and asking, and asking, and seeking, and seeking, and seeking, and seeking, and knocking, and knocking, and knocking, because my child is in trouble. And I need a miracle. I need a miracle. And I'm not going to let go. I'm like Jacob. I ain't going to let go. I'm going to wrestle. I have to wrestle all night long, Lord. But I'm not going to let go until you bless me. My child is hurting. See the pain. And I see what you're going through. Some spiritual force got under his control. Taking a cat, kidnapped her from her purity, kidnapped her from her potential, kidnapped her for the purpose that you put here on earth. And I'm going out. I'm going out. And I want to tell you, I remember. Oh, I don't remember. I'm trying to think of the name. There's another movie where some kidnapper came and got his daughter. She was overseas and they caught him. And daughter, he was one of the military kind of spy type dog. And they captured his daughter. He called him and talked to him on the phone. He would tell him he gonna come after his daughter. And he said he had a peculiar set of skills. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Yeah, see, that's where moms are. Moms got a peculiar set of skills. That when you get a hold of their children, hey, they will come after you. Because they got a peculiar set of skills. They got that tenacity.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he called a dog, and I said, you know, in a way, that's a good description. Because sometimes, when you mess with a mama, she'll get dogged determination. You can't, it's like a dog has a bone. You can't, I don't care how deep that bone is buried. He'll get the ding because he's after that bone and you can't stop it. You can tell him, get out of here. You can push him away. But 5 minutes later, he'll come back and do the same thing. And sometimes, when mother has that dog determination, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit fasting. I'm not going to quit witnessing. I'm not going to quit worshiping. Because my child needs deliverance. Or my family needs deliverance. Or my household needs deliverance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
In the hospital room. Everybody has to give it up. They still praying for a miracle. In the prison, visitor section, and at home, knowing their child, you're still praying.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to give up. Everybody's saying, they ain't going to never be no good. They ain't going to never mount up anything. They say, you don't understand. I can't give up. Because I gave birth to her. I gave birth to him. Yes, I got to keep on.
I got to keep on. I got to keep on praying. And maybe a time that I'm going to have to take a step back and offer God to get in. Offer God to get in. And let God work with him. But as God is working with him, amen, I'm still praying. I'm still hoping. I'm still trusting for God to bring me through. I know I'm struggling right now. I'm doing all I can as a single parent, trying to make ends meet. Seems like when I get one bill paid, amen, something else, another bill comes down there. I don't know how I'm going to pay all these bills made. And then I get all my bills paid and something going on with the car. And then I get off, I get my car running again, then there's a layoff at work. How much more can I take, God? And I don't care because I'm a mother. And they ain't got nobody to help me. They ain't got nobody to pray for them. They ain't got nobody to care for them. They ain't got nobody to plead for them. They ain't got nobody to fight for them. I fight alone and have to fight. I pray alone and I have to pray. I will come to you every time, but I got to get this done. They don't have nobody else. And I don't have nobody else but you. She got home and the girl's all right. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
That ought to give you a little hope. Yeah. One of these days, I don't know how long it's going to take you, God.
Yeah.
I don't know how you work in the same house. But hopefully
one day,
I'm going to come home and my cat will be all right. Yeah. One day, they're going to be delivered. One day, they're going to be on the right road. One day, they're going to be in college. One day, they're going to be off the streets, God. One day they will be close to you, but I'm not going to give up.
One day.
And when you remember, when children remember, that when family comes to our senses, and we realize all that our mama said done for us.
Amen.
Lord, thank God for forgiving me. Mama didn't give up. Didn't give up.
Man.
Didn't stop. She gave it all she had. And more. And the God that she prayed to came through. Won't it come through?
Yes, sir.
Won't it come through?
Yes, sir.
I don't know when Jesus said, woman, she's healed, but I just got to finish somehow. She said, won't he do it?
Yes.
Won't he do it?
Yes.
Won't he do it? Some mamas in here, can I ask you, won't he do it?
Yes.
He may not done it yet, but you ought to know that he is going to do it.
Yes.
Pastor, he ain't done it yet, but I know he's going to do it.
Yes.
I'm just trusting him, he's going to do it. I can see it, he's going to
do it.
Going to do it. And when he do it, I come back and tell y'all about it. Because I know he's, woman, great is thy faith.
Yes.
When a mother needs,
yes,
that's a portable truth. That's a portable truth, because it may not always be a mother. Sometimes it may be a father.
Yes.
You can take it from a mother and put it with a father.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it may be a husband or a wife. Sometimes it may be a child praying for their parents. That's a portable truth.
Yeah.
You just gotta never give up until God says an unmistakable no. And then you say, Father knows best.
Yes.
But until you get that unmistakable no, you keep praying. You keep struggling. You keep doing whatever you got to do. Because God is the God. Thank you. This is going to come. This is going to come. Wait a minute. Why? She can come on. Give me a little of that. Pray for me. Bet she can. You know, I'm going to give you a chance. Brother Moon is saved right now. I'm going to ask all the mothers to come. Thank you.
ending.